machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim with respect to what exactly establishes the shame Asherah, whether it's the fact that there is actually a avodah zara which has been placed underneath the shade of the tree, or whether the tree itself is a davar hanavad. So the Mishnah says lo yeshev bitzila, that one isn't allowed to sit in the shade of the Asherah tree. So if we meant directly underneath, that would certainly be a problem. Obviously, that would be hana'ah, lo yidbach biyadcha me'umah min acherim, that would be benefiting from, you know, avodah zarah, v'im yashav tahor. But if you did so, there's no tumah. Again, there's a tumah derabanan by avodah zarah that we spoke about. V'lo ya'avor tachteha, and a person cannot pass underneath, v'im avar tameh. So if you actually pass directly underneath, so then that's a problem. So what exactly, you know, is the case in terms of sitting down and ending up tahor? How would that be any better? So the Rishonim explained, based on the Gemara, that what's going on here is you're not actually sitting directly underneath the Asherah tree. Obviously, that would be a problem. But you're sort of, you know, as the expression goes, it casts a giant shadow. So let's say you're not sitting underneath a tree, but you're still sitting in the shadow of the tree, right? That could happen, right, based on the, you know, angle of the sunlight. So that would be permissible, at least b'dieved. Ha'isa gozelos es harabim v'avar tachta tahor. The Chachamim weren't gozer tuma in a situation where it was sticking out into the Rishos HaRabim. You see, if it's sticking out into the public thoroughfare, then you have no intention of benefiting at all from the Asherah tree. This is the obvious case, Yitzchak, if you're just literally minding your own business, going down the street, so we're not going to penalize you for that. The Tumah Derabanan was assigned in a case where a person is, you know, in some sense, trying to benefit from Avodah Zarah, which is unacceptable. V'zorin tachta yirakos mimosakashamim avalobi mosachama. We can't benefit from the shade of the Asherah tree under any circumstances, so we can't plant any vegetation that will benefit from the Asherah tree. But let's say it actually needs sunlight and the Asherah tree is causing a problem for it, so then that would not be any kind of an issue altogether. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Aflo Yirakos Bimosa Gishamim, Mipnei Shanamiya Noshara Salehen. So this is a very important machlokas. We end up passing like Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi here is speaking with Devei Chachamim. And this is a machlokas that we find in many areas of halacha called Zeh v'zeh goreim aser or mutter. So Rabbi Yossi's view is if you have one source which is mutter and one source which is aser that's contributing to some compound result, so the halacha is it's permissible. Zev zagorim is mutter, and we pask in that way. According to the Chachamim will say zev zagorim is aser. So let's say you have the ground, which is permissible, which is contributing to the growth of a plant, and then also the shade of the Asherah tree. The rabbis should say that's problematic. Now, in this case, the rabbis would have a particular response and say, no, we don't think that the Asherah tree is really contributing in any meaningful kind of a way to fertilizing the growth of this vegetation. That's a separate story. It's a little bit of a technical point. But the basic argument of Zev Zev Gorim Asar Mutter, that's a machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, and we pass him like Rabbi Yossi, then indeed it is permissible. So not telling Mena Eitzim, this is the ninth Mishnah, Asurin Behana. So if you would sever, chop off wood from the Asherah tree, it's, you know, stigmatized, and it's Asur Behana. Hesik Behana Satanu Arim Chadash Yutatz V'im Yashan Yutzan. So let's say you use them as fuel for the oven. It's a very important circuit when you get to Shvach Eitzim Bepas. So the Gemara says, look, the first time that you would use an ancient oven, that's what would make the oven fit for usage, that you'd fire it up, and that would make the oven firm and hard, and that would, you know, essentially make the oven usable where it hadn't been usable before. So in that case, since you used wood of an Asherah tree to make the oven usable for all intents and purposes, so then every time you'd use the oven, you'd be benefiting from the Avodah Zarah. So that's a good way to lose your oven. You'd actually have to break the oven, yutatz. You'd have to smash it to be able to use it again because a kli charis, an earthenware vessel like an oven or anything else, is completely unusable once it's become declared to be tameh. However, if it had been used before that, all you have to do is let it cool down. Afabo asapas asura behanoa. So if you baked bread in there, so it's asur behanoa, because again, it benefited from the wood. It's arva be'acheros, kulan asuros behanoa. Now we pask in the kula, Reb Elazar Omer yolech hanoa liyam hamelech. So if you have one loaf of bread, which is the product the wood of Avodah Zarah, so Yeshva Chetzim Bepas, but we paskin that since it's mixed into a taroves, you could just take whatever the value of that loaf of bread is. Let's say it's a $5 loaf of bread, very expensive. So you could throw that amount of money into Yam HaMelech, which if you've ever been down to Yam HaMelech, it will corrode it. You know, it's like, you know, you'll never see that money again. So similar situation, not involving actually the wood as firewood, but involving the wood that used to be used in the sewing process. So again, similar idea. Reb Lezer says you just have to subtract the benefit that you would have gotten from the Etcher tree. Amar lo, in Pidyon Avodah Zarah, their response to him was what they said before, in Pidyon Avodah Zarah, they pask in the Chumrah, but we would pask in Lakula. So again, a number of Kulos, not everything with Avodah Zarah has to end up being the most Machmer, so we say Zevizeh Gorim, in fact, is Mutter. If you have two different factors and one of them is permissible, we'll pask in, at least by the Eved, that it's acceptable. The second point is Yolech Hana Aliyam HaMelech, that if you have one stigmatized loaf of bread or anything else, and everything, then we can say we're not going to force you to get rid of everything, based on, you know, the one loaf of bread that's here. What we're going to do is say that they're all fundamentally acceptable, as long as you subtract the value of the Avodah Zarah, whatever that the value of that loaf of bread was, to throw that over into Yam HaMelech. And that is indeed how we rule, so a number of kulos here as well.